Thank you. Very nice work, young lady.
Thank you.
You got started at a really young age, 5 years old from what I understand.
I started music.
Yeah.
Not specifically jazz. I got into jazz when I was about 14 years old.
Okay, but your parents gave you music at a relatively young age.
Yes, they gave me the gift of learning classical piano and learning how to be a really proficient musician in that sense. But since I was very young, I've always had a desire and a craving for spontaneous creativity and improvisation, which I found in jazz at the Los Angeles County High School for the Arts. You know, as a 14-year-old, I was so angsty, and I was trying to find my belonging. And when I was exposed to the jazz department, and specifically when I met Bill Wyszaski, my musical director now, but at the time he was my private instructor and mentor, and I discovered this whole new world of raw creativity, but also, you know, a really hard commitment to the music with work ethic and, you know, a willingness to take part in the suffering of overcoming your the challenges of becoming a better musician. And that's something that I continue to do today.
Okay. So in part, we can blame that on Bill.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Yeah, So, but the training that you got from your parents, you know, as a child, how did that help prepare you for that newfound love for improvisation and what have you?
Without it, I wouldn't be able to do what I do in jazz music, because I learned how to practice. I learned how to sight read. I learned how to sit down at a piano by myself for hours in solitude and just do the work. Because you gotta love the work. You can't just love it when it's good. You can't love it when it's fun or when it feels good. You also have to enjoy the ups and downs of the process. And that's something I learned practicing classical piano when I was practicing Samuel Barber, when I was practicing Bach, all the stuff that is really the foundational meat and potatoes of jazz music. So it was a combination of the hard work ethic that my parents instilled in me, as well as Bill. Yeah.
So that 14-year-old that showed up in high school, when you came in contact with a faculty member like Bill, obviously that just opened up all types of new doors for you.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's really eye-opening when someone is willing to tell you the unfiltered truth about where you're really at.
Mm.
Because, you know, a lot of the time, especially at a fancy schmancy art school, kids are, you know, coveted and coddled by their parents, and like, oh, you're so talented, sweetie, blah, blah, blah. And like, I feel like Bill was like sure, you're talented, but can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And I'm like, shit, I do, excuse my language, but yeah, you got to learn how to do stuff and you have to learn how to be humble, but not to the point where you're self-deprecating yourself, but to the point where you have a healthy self-love, but also a healthy, rational outlook on what the things you need to do to become better. And that was something that I really took away from just sort of like the core values I've learned working with him.
Outstanding.
So, yeah.
Well, as I said, we're gonna meet the band in a little bit and hear Bill's side of the story.
Oh yeah.
Which may contradict. We'll find out. But Groovy was really groovy. I mean, if you can maybe talk a little bit about the origins of that piece and how that came about.
Yeah. So Groovy, I originally wrote actually as a tribute to Mulgrew Miller. So Groovy came from his name. But then we actually normally play this tune on Rhodes. And that takes on a whole different feeling. But when I come back to the piano, which is, this is kind of like one of the first times I've recorded Groovy on a piano since the record and also some other shows, it's been kind of refreshing because I feel like I can kind of go back to the way he inspires me, Mulgrew. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those tunes that I wrote specifically to be effective with simple melodies and nothing too fancy. It was all about just finding a simple melody that was musical and inspires a band to improvise over it.
Outstanding. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to have a test for Ivan and Bill during the next segment, so I'm going to get them thinking about that right now. But what's the next tune we're going to hear?
You're going to hear a Bill Wyszaski original. It's a minor blues called Extended Stay.
All right, outstanding. Let's hear that once again. This is the Connie Hahn Trio right here on WRTI 90.1, live from the Performance Studio. All righty now. Very intense. That's Bill Wyszaski on the drums. Ivan's making faces over there when he's playing too. He's making some faces.
Some nasty stank faces.
Ivan Taylor on the bass. And this is the Connie Hahn Trio. And again, you guys are in performance at Exuberance, and it should be a fierce show. It's a great space. And as I mentioned to you guys earlier, I'm a little surprised that that bass made its way out of Matt Yapel's house over to our performance studio today.
Yes.
So as I said, I got a bit of a test here for Ivan and Bill, which I think they're pretty well versed on. Ivan, you have a microphone over there that you can access. So, you know, you said you've been hearing the story of this bass since you've been here. What's going on with that bass that you have?
Well, apparently it's over 100 years old. Where's it from?
Germany, I believe.
Germany, right? Yeah, I can tell that it is from Germany too, but yeah, this bass is it's older than all of us, you know. But you know, the older the wood, the better the bass sounds, so you know, it's making me sound quite well, I think.
Yeah, and those intense faces that you bring forth add value to it as well. But yeah, there's a lot of history behind that instrument.
It is.
And it's very precious to Matt Yapel and his family. His father played that bass in Germany. When he was kind of forced to play it by the Nazis, and so there's a lot of history with that instrument. So it's great to have you here and that bass as well.
It's great to be here.
You know, Bill, we heard Connie speak about, you know, the importance of you coming into her life as part of the faculty in high school. If you can maybe give a little perspective on what it's been to connect with her as a young musician and to play a role on this journey and her development.
Yeah. You know, for anybody that teaches this music, and this music is not, first of all, it is not for everybody. I have to say that when it comes to introducing the values, introducing the techniques, the history, this is not music for everybody. And when Connie was introduced to it, okay, it was like there wasn't enough stuff I could give her to check out that she wouldn't absorb very quickly. Now, this may seem like just so easy to say, but as any jazz fan knows, you could live 20 lifetimes and not learn everything. So to see her essentially go from I'm a great musician, but I don't know jazz, within a year to playing trio by her, you know, leading a trio at a show by herself, you know, taking everything that we say as educators, whatever that stuff is, and making music out of it. It was a phenomenal thing.
No, that's wonderful.
Watch.
Yeah, it's wonderful to hear. Connie Hahn, how does it feel to hear him chat like that about you and your progression?
Well, I'm flattered. I mean, it's kind of spot on in the sense where I had this insatiable appetite just to learn and absorb and to learn all I can about the tradition of this great, great art form. I mean, I consider myself to be an eternal student of this art form, and even as a professional now, I still try to humble myself every day by, you know, trying to honor the legacy of my heroes such as McCoy Tyner, Kenny Kirkland, Mulgrew Miller, Kenny Barron. So yeah, man, and I'm really happy to be playing with him now here and with Ivan as well in my trio.
Well, when you mention names like McCoy Tyner and Kenny Barron and you're in Philadelphia, you know, you're definitely making a lot of friends.
Yeah. No, yeah. Philadelphia produced pretty much all the cats. McCoy Tyner and Kenny Barron being highlights, obviously. Benny Golson, too. Joe Chambers, technically he wasn't born here, but he came out of here.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah,
he's fine.
I mean, all the cats that I love, like in the vein and the aesthetic and the musical quote-unquote fetish of the jazz I like, it all came from Philly. So I'm happy to be here in this culture for sure.
Well, you are very steeped in the tradition, but, you know, it seems like you're bringing a fresh face, a fresh voice to the music. Is that on purpose? Is there an agenda?
The agenda of being Connie Hahn, yes. I can't help but be myself.
And you know, we're hearing who you are today. But again, I think you offer something that may be a little different than, you know, what has been the standard in the past. And, you know, as we know, things always continue to move forward. And it's great to have you here today and present what you do.
Thank you.
You know, now there's a UCLA story that maybe you can give us a little perspective. You had a full scholarship.
I did.
And you stayed there all of?
3 weeks.
And what happened?
I went because I thought, hey, maybe I can pursue my music career while also getting a degree. That could be like my plan B, my backup plan. And then after going through the motions of doing dorm life, paid meal life, going to classes I knew that I would never apply information to in my actual life, and realizing how much time I actually wanted to spend in committing to my craft, I realized I don't have the time to be going to school if I really want to become like a full-fledged jazz artist and performer. And that's what I knew in my heart that I wanted to do. I think I knew that since I was 14, like since I like found out that I loved jazz.
It was immediate.
Jazz.
Yeah. It was immediate.
But I kind of like, I didn't deny it, but you know, I was trying to consider my options. I was trying to be open-minded to everything. And you know, my parents wished that I had pursued, you know, that plan B, or at least having that plan B. But I realized that I'm the kind of person that just goes all in. I'm so passionate and just dangerously focused. So,
well,
yeah.
I mean, that's a courageous yeah. move. But, you know, obviously Mac Avenue thinks it was a good move. And, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that are really feeling what Connie Hahn is doing. So, you know, again, applause, you know, for your efforts to pursue your passion. All right. So we have time for one more tune.
Yes. And this last one is a closer from Crime Zone, my Mac Avenue Records debut. Get it now at ConnieHahn.com or MacAvenueRecords.com. But this is the burner from the album. It's my original called Southern Rebellion.
And we'll be back to wrap up in just a couple of minutes.
For
Once
sure.
again, this is the Connie Hahn Trio right here on WRTI 90.1. Thank you.
Yeah.